So I want you to know today that the Spirit of God, He is the power, the comforter, the great evangelist. The Spirit of God is. So John's Gospel, chapter 16, Jesus is referring to the Spirit of God as the Parakletos. Chapter 16, verse 7, John's Gospel, the Parakletos. When Jesus goes away, the Helper, the Parakletos, the Comforter, the Counselor, will come. Until He goes away, that is, from the death, burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus. And then they're going to wait in Jerusalem, as we've been talking about. We're going to see that today in the book of Acts, or in this segment of the book of Acts. So the power of the Spirit of God will come like never before in history. For all the believers, baptized with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, clothed with power, sealed, anointed, the Comforter, the indwelling. We're going to talk about all this in this great training work. But I wanted to bring this up to you. We are in audio. We're taking a look right here. Audio 23. In this training course, Book of Acts, welcome. This is Russ, and we're glad that you're here because, well, I want you to know the testimonies. Nobody gets saved without the Spirit of God working, convincing, convicting, and engaging them. So before we go into Acts chapter 2 directly, we're going to go into the e-story, the evangelism story. Then we'll go into the entire questionings that we have. There's a number of questions on page 37. Then we're going to move into the book of Acts chapter 2. Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit of God. Now, this to me is incredibly important, vital for us in many different ways, because when we think in terms of the Spirit of God coming, we're thinking in terms of well, the prophecy of Joel is involved here. We're going to look at also. Before we get to all that again, welcome. Book of Acts, how's your prayers and your heart for lost individuals and your walk? Well, never does He leave you. Never does He forsake you. Jesus said, I am with you always to the end of the age. Glad to be with you. This again, Rust is Dar, shatterthedarkness.net. This audio is audio 23. It is part of the training course, Book of Acts. So if you have not looked into this, or if you've gotten this audio a different way, I want you to know there's a workbook, a training, and you're many of you are right now in the 8 month to 1 year. We'll be doing anywhere from 3 to 5 audios a week, and then it's going to get into video, and then we're going to get into a lot of interaction with you. We've been designed, we are God's workmanship, designed in Christ Jesus, created in Christ Jesus, to do the good works, to do the works of Jesus that God prepared in advance. Now, you can't get saved without the power of the Spirit of God. You can't even know what to do without the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes to convince, convict, evangelize, witness to Jesus. And to and literally, it's God pouring through in that evangelistic encounter. So when anybody hears the gospel, God is appealing, God is speaking, God is gripping a lost soul, a lost individual, as He did us. And it could be whether you're 5 years old or 50 years old. It doesn't make any difference because as human beings, obviously, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you look at Romans 5 from verse 12 on down, now when we look at Romans 5, death came in because one man sinned. Well, and it passed to all humanity because all have sinned. So however you look at it from the very beginning, Adam, all the way down to you, we know, I have sinned. Scripture says, for all has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. So the book of Romans is big on the individual and corporate fall and the move away from God. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down. It's a good panoramic view concerning the fall and the depth of that sin and the sin nature. So when you're lost, you have the sin nature inside. Romans 8, operative, hostile to God, doesn't want to submit to God, and it can't. The sin nature inside doesn't get saved. I mean, you get saved, but that salvation includes the fix. Not just the forgiveness, which is awesome, but the breaking of the sin nature, Romans 6, Romans 8, and the rendering powerless of that sin nature, no longer has the rule, no longer has the rights. So that's vital in this work of salvation. Forgiveness and cleansing by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus, for freedom from the sin nature, and, of course, the breaking of the chains of Satan, not having any rights to you any longer, Colossians 1. We've talked about that being ripped up out of the dominion of darkness and transferred over into the basileia, the rule of Christ. So as you look at today, the day the Lord has given us, same Jesus, the same grace, the same power of God. So it's a tremendous thing that we all have. And so as we're in his presence and we acknowledge, be still and know that he is God, and we acknowledge him, and we acknowledge this word today. I wanted to bring this word out today because I think it's important that we take a look in John 16. And I think that as you look at John 16:7, again, always having your Bible open to this training and getting ready. I hope that you've done the prayers up today and the backdrop look at everything. But I want to go to John's Gospel, chapter 16. And this is incredible. Actually, if you look at John chapters 12 through 16, you'll see a great teaching all about the Spirit of God, all about his presence, that it's him, the Spirit of God. Well, let me go through verses 7 down. Verse 7, nevertheless, this is Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth, is it expedient for you that I go away? For if I do not go away, the counselor, that's the parakletos, this is the Greek word, meaning the helper, the comforter, the one that comes right alongside you, and the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now he is the another of the same kind we're going to see here. He is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. When we refer to Christ dwelling in you, the Spirit of God dwelling in you. So there's the work of the Spirit of God, but there's an inseparable sense, the Spirit of Christ, Christ himself. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, uncreated, God, eternal, he, not it. It's important that we see that in this work right here of John, well, 14, 15, 16. We're in John 16 right now, verse 7. When Jesus says, for if I do not go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Notice again, I will send him to you. When he comes, referring to Pentecost, referring to this great fulfillment out of Joel's prophecy concerning this massive event in which, you know, when Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail, that's what he's referring to. This church in which he is going to pour, we have the word pouring out, we're to drink of the Spirit. There's tremendous imagery and terminology used in all of this. So verse 8, when he comes, do you remember Acts 1:8? On that day, you know, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Or in Luke's Gospel 24, waited to Jerusalem until what? Power from on high. Till you're clothed with power from on high. Now, all that Jesus spoke then and there and what did occur is the same today. as believers clothed with power, filled with the power of the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God comes upon us, we are going to be the ultimate is dunamis, power. Power in the Word, power in salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. Well, here's the power of the Spirit of God we're referring to. But he's more than just power. He is God, the Holy Spirit. He takes from Christ and makes it known to us. He illuminates all Scripture. He lights us up to the depths of Jesus. And he is the empowerer to witness, the empowerer in all the giftings and all the working. And this is vital for us. So when he goes away, the Counselor, the Comforter, the Helper who's in you right now, the Spirit of God that is in you right now, speaking, guiding, leading, directing, he, let's stop a moment, be still and know that he is God, God the Holy Spirit, Counselor, Teacher, Reminder, Illuminator, Empower, Comforter. Well, we hear the Lord's voice, the Spirit of God, as we read in Acts 8. Philip is able to quote, go stand over there by that chariot. The clarity of what the Spirit of God can do in your life. And the necessity, well, you can't be saved, can't even be drawn, can't even have that initial battle, because being lost, you're separated. Being lost, your sin is on you. Being lost, the devil owns you. Being lost, the sin nature rules you. Being lost, hell is the ultimate outcome because of the judgment of God, the wrath of God. Now, in salvation, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's why he came, to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why. Vital for you, vital for me. That's what we know right now. It's personal. I mean, it's in one sense the fix that is needed, because we are so corrupted and broken and separated. And there's real spiritual forces that own us. And the sin nature, not just individual sins that you lied once or twice, but the very nature itself, Romans 8 describes the hostility towards God. Maybe you had that. Maybe you remember how you first heard. Maybe you had to be dragged to church. Maybe someone on the street. I don't know. When you're younger, it seems a little bit, you know, in some sense, it's a little bit easier to hear. I mean, the truth is, many people get saved before they ever get to be 18 years old. There's been studies that the older you get, sometimes the harder it is for a person to listen. Nevertheless, the gospel is so powerful. Nevertheless, the Spirit of God comes to do his work. Now, when we read verse 7, Jesus goes on to say, but if I go, I will send him to you. Now notice verse 8. When he comes, he will convict the world. He will convict the world. This is a very powerful little word. He's going to convict the world. Now he's called the Spirit of Truth here too in this context. But he's going to bring a conviction. Now, I looked up again. I love to look up the words. And it means to expose, to convict, to reprove, to rebuke, to expose, to show to be guilty. Also, the root word of this, to convince with solid, compelling evidence. The idea of exposing and proving something is wrong. So the Spirit of God, now we need to have confidence. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Truth, he is going to be in the context. There is no real evangelism without him, no unleashing of the gospel. And this, and I'm going to say like a flooding fountain, God wants the message of the gospel to be poured out. And when that message, that gospel that is the power of God into salvation for everyone that believes, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, we read Romans 10. So the work of the Spirit of God, he's going to witness, we're going to witness, we're going to be clothed with power, we're going to be his witnesses to all the world. Mataru, the idea of, and in the case of the book of Acts, we're going to see, every Spirit-filled person became a soul winner, a witness, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of power, clothed. They all were leading others. And it all begins somewhere, and the more it happens, well, as we see in Acts 9:22, when you're filled and clothed with the power of the Spirit of God, when you step out to begin to testify about Jesus, because the power of the Spirit of God is like that example of gas being thrown on the fire. And when we're filled with the Spirit of God, we are so filled with Jesus, so lit up with the living Christ, so utterly captivated, focused upon, and, well, the living Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the incredible thing. The Spirit of God just lights you up from the inside out of Jesus. His brilliance, his beauty, his power, his person, his works, all that he is. And the motivation, the empowerment to share him with everybody else. Now, we know that the Great Commission, whether in Mark's Gospel 16 or in Matthew 28, we're to go to every single human being. As the Father sent Jesus, so he's going to send us. And with a gospel that is, astoundingly powerful. Why do I say it that way? Nothing more powerful. No message more powerful. God is in the message. I think it's important for us to understand that. That in the message, the living presence of God, in the pouring out of that gospel and sharing of that gospel, God himself is going to be engaging a human being, gripping a human being, convicting with the goal, with solid, compelling evidence. And it's all about drawing them, all about showing them the need. He will, as we are reading here, what's he going to do? He's going to convict the world of sin. You could be that's why sometimes, maybe you did, I did it first. That's why some people kind of shy away from the gospel. That's why some people run away. That's why I've seen, even in a church service or a Bible study, people are brought in, they're lost. In local street-level Bible study, I remember a guy, a drug addict that got saved. He was quietly bringing his buddies and friends off the street to the Bible study. The moment the Bible study opened up with praise and worship and prayer, I remember this one. I heard footsteps running down the floor, then down the stairs out. A person was convicted. There's times people are convicted. Convinced. The Spirit of God is there with compelling evidence that they are lost, that righteousness is only in Jesus alone, that they are not. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible says. So when he comes, the Spirit of God is going to convict the world, convince the world with definitive proof of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. A reference to that Satan himself is judged. I mean, the ultimate judgment, hell itself, being lost. So when you're lost, all of a sudden the Spirit of God, somebody shares, maybe you heard it on the radio, maybe you heard it on television, maybe you heard it in a church, maybe somebody on the street. I've been in all kinds of, I've been on television and radio and all the rest, on the streets, in the bars, biker bars, gay bars, didn't make any difference, universities, intellectuals. Remember this, I don't care who the person is, the roughest and toughest, the meekest, the mildest, the businessman or the biker, the intellectual, or the very, very, very common individual, young or old, the gospel is the power of God. God so loved the world, there's such motivation here. God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world, but to save it. So when this gospel is unleashed about Jesus, bringing convincing and convicting and evidential proof spiritually that a person is lost, their sin, the righteousness that they don't have that Christ does have. So I believe this, when the Spirit of God, when we're unleashing the gospel on someone and sharing, it's very clear their righteousness is as filthy rags. They're lost. They have sin all over them. Now, it also points to the purity and the sinlessness and the righteousness of Jesus. And what we need, it's what we need. When we get saved, washed and cleansed by Jesus, and then we're given, we're justified, and we're given, in a sense, we become the righteousness of God because of him. And judgment, well, we're no longer under it. Romans 8, in Christ, there's now no condemnation. You're not living under that now. If you reject Christ and turn away from him and resist the Spirit of God, and notice that, and we're going to see this in Acts, how they resisted. What are they resisting? The work of the Spirit of God to draw them, convince them, bring them, lead them in the context of your witness. Because God is engaging. God is speaking through all of us as believers. Listen, I don't care if you're saved and you're born again and you've been filled with the Spirit of God, you're to be the witness. You'll become a witness. Every Spirit-filled individual in Acts became a soul-winning witness. And what a joy. What a fire. What a beauty. What a celebration. No question about that. When one person gets saved, all heaven rejoices. How much more should we? I love churches where I've gone where they give invitation, and I love it when they give invitation. Some churches do it this way. They give an invitation for anybody who wants to get saved, come to Christ now. And so I watch people go forward. They lead people to Jesus. You know, they do all that's necessary then, repenting, believing on the Lord, leading them through prayer, calling on the name of Jesus. And I love the churches that I've seen turn individuals around and say, here's Fred, here's Joe, here's Sally, here's Karen. Just received Christ, and the whole church begins to applaud and celebrate. It kind of mirrors what's happening in heaven. The astounding joy in the heavens, angels rejoicing. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Well, the prayers for the lost. Timothy 2. So it's I believe this. It's a great joy in the heart of God when someone gets saved. Born of the Spirit of God. Born with the spirit of adoption. I want you to remember that when you got saved, and from that day to this, God, you are his sons and daughters of God, adopted, the spirit of adoption, Romans 8, inside you. And you can't get any closer. Utterly forgiven, utterly, totally cleansed, given the righteousness of Jesus. And a new nature is inside of you, a new power over, and a victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. So I just want to share in this opening message audio for Acts chapter 2, the backdrop to all this. When you take a look at this, I want you to look at verse 12 in chapter 16. Chapter 16, he says, Jesus says, this is before Pentecost. I have yet many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, notice what he's called, God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, inseparable from the word of truth. Jesus is the truth. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, in reference to Scripture. For he will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will tell you things that are to come. Well, that's in all the reference to prophecy and the rest of Scripture. Now look at verse 14. He will glorify me. It's what I think when people are really filled with the Spirit of God. They're glorifying Jesus. They're the Spirit of God brings that we're lit up on fire to see Jesus like never before. You ever read Ephesians chapter 1? You might want to go there today when Paul is praying that he prays, I pray that a spirit of wisdom and revelation be given to you. Why? That you might know, K-N-O-W, experientially know Jesus epigenosis. Fully better, deeper, broader, wider. Just the idea of the Spirit of God making Jesus known to you and breaking through the sin and all the rest of it to lead you, to bring you to Jesus, and then indwell you, and then in filling you with this, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, which is God's will, the pleasure, and the norm, the focus, the filling, the Spirit of God that just lights you up to see the eyes of your heart. You read this in Ephesians 1? That the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, brightened is the Greek word. The idea of the Spirit of God lighting up the inside of you to comprehend, to perceive, to experience, to know the fullness of Jesus in the deepest of ways. Verse 14, chapter 16, John. He will glorify me, for he will receive from me and will declare it to you. It's astounding, I think. The Spirit of God in all the work that's going to be done. So a backdrop to Acts chapter 2 would be taking the time today to study chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, and just look at all that Jesus speaks about the Spirit of God. The teaching, the reminding, the comforting, the counseling, the Spirit of truth, and all that's going to be to this day. And that's why we love to read in 1 John 4:4. Greater, megas, is he, God the Holy Spirit, in you, than he, the demon or Satan, in the world. Greater, huge, massive, is the Spirit of God. His presence and power dwelling in you. He's God infinite. He's God eternal. Satan is finite. The demons are finite. You've got to remember that in salvation, Jesus liberated you. You're now his. You have victory over Satan, and you've been given authority over his power. And God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in you as the power beyond his. Hallelujah today. May God bless you. May God strengthen you in those studies in John's Gospel 14 through 17. May the Lord Jesus just light you up today, filling you, renewing you. May he give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know Jesus, epigenosis, better, deeper, broader than ever. May the eyes of your heart, the depths inside of you, be enlightened, brightened, lit up by the Spirit of God, that you can know the inheritance you have and all that you have in Christ. In Jesus' name. This is Russ Dizdar, Book of Acts. We'll see you in the next audio.